Blog Talk Radio.
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And welcome. I'm very glad to be back with you all radio listeners. I'm Jackie Wayans, your host of Don't Give Up Radio. And we have been spending the month of January just focusing on finances. You know what? I believe that this is the time for me personally to get my hands, get my mind, get my practice around this issue of finances, not only maintaining and managing a budget, but also learning how to invest, learning how to increase, how to have multiple streams of income. And I was reminded this weekend that, you know, we can't really have an impact in our own families or in the communities that we live in and really make change unless we have this area under control. So I'm really happy to have another guest with us tonight who I've known personally for many years, and I've seen his evolution. And so Dwayne Fuller is going to join us, and he educates and he trains, and he also lives it out practically. He's the creator of the Cash Creation Systems website, cashcreationsystems.com. And we're going to have a special opportunity for you at the end of the show. So tune in, listen up, and take notes. Dwayne, glad to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, let's allow the audience to get to know you. I know you. We're here in New York City. I'm a native New Yorker, so are you, but you're no longer here in New York City. However, you were born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, as I was. And so tell us a little bit about, you know, growing up, your family, what was it like for you growing up in the city?
Well, I grew up with a single mom, so I would say, you know, the mom has to go out and work, a lot of time spent alone. So, you know, as far as financially, a lot of, you know, the same that you would see most people in a lower-income community going through. We got by, but there was a certain mindset about money. And that mindset was really just, you know, go out, get a job. If that job covers your bills, then fine. If not, you know, you just get by the best way that you can. And the people that you really saw who it seemed like were prospering were those who were willing to step outside of the confines of the law and do things that were illegal, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I think the community piece is a very interesting part to elaborate on, because a lot of times we don't think about that, and even people with a middle class income who may be living in a community where there's still a lot of struggle, your kids may be going to private school, but then again, they're still exposed to so many things that the community is offering, and that changes their mindset. That's a lot different than what you might be trying to relay. So tell us a little bit about what you saw just community-wise and how that impacted you.
Well, I would say one of the things, like I said, many people you're going to see people with low-income jobs. They're struggling to get by. But one of the things I noticed is that even as I got older, once I got older, I had a pretty decent job. I made okay money. But you still have the same type of struggles. But then as I got older and got into even better jobs and jobs making very good money and being around people who were making very good money, I noticed, particularly in the city, the struggles were still the same. You know, you make more, but then once you make more, you develop that same habit of spending more. And once you start to do that, you're basically caught up in the same cycle. You may be living on something of a better level than some others, but you're still going through the same struggles financially. And particularly living someplace like New York, and I hope your mayor doesn't come after me, but living someplace like New York, you're living in a financially aggressive place. Every time you turn around, somebody is hitting you with a parking ticket, or you got New York state taxation sending you a letter, oh, there was this problem with your taxes, or IRS, there was this problem with your taxes, as far as, you know, just different types of things that are set up against you. I've seen people come to visit the United States, and the first thing that they're shocked about is the money that they have to pay, that you have to pay for parking in the airport. And the more that they go around, the more that they notice everything is money. In the city, everything is money. You go to, you want to go to a store, put some money in the meter. Everything is about money. So you're living in a financially aggressive area, and you're counting on a paycheck to be able to feed the needs of a very hungry or greedy environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that you and I were talking about, in, just in terms of the mindset growing up and being exposed to that, is that, you know, you see very few people accomplishing. You see very few people making it out of the hood or making it into middle class and sustaining that. And you mentioned that the few who do tend to be the type, you know, the athlete, the entertainer, or the person who's doing the illegal thing, you know. And so as you got older, you know, you had a good ethic in terms of working and having a good job, that whole thing. But, you know, you started to see the reality of, you know, you just can't get by. What was one of the first things you started to do to try to compensate for this aggressive city life that most of us live in? If it's not New York, it could be Chicago, it could be California, but we all live in aggressive cities most time, and places where we're trying to make ends meet. So what was one of the first things you did that, and you found that that didn't work either?
Well, one of the things I've always done is I've always started businesses. So even when I was working, I was always working to build businesses, start small businesses. But even in that, I noticed that there was a big mistake that I was making, and I didn't recognize it at the time. The mistake that I say I was making, and I didn't recognize it at the time, is that I was trying to build businesses instead of business systems. And there's a difference between the two. Let's say I decide I want to start up a McDonald's. And that's an expensive way to go, but I'm just using this by way of an example. Let's say I decide I want to become a business person, so I'm going to start up a McDonald's. So I buy this McDonald's, I manage the McDonald's, and I make money from there. Well, I've just now started a business, so I'm no longer an employee. I've now created a business, but even though I created that business, I still work for myself. So I'm still an employee. I'm just an employee for myself at this point. And the money I make is still limited.
We're going to elaborate on that in a second, but what I hear you saying is that you can have your own business, but you're still an employee if you're, i.e., still working for hours or still the sole person driving that business. You're still, you know, expending a lot of time and a lot of energy, even though it's a business on the side. So now... I want to come back to this concept that you mentioned about living in aggressive cultures and
financially aggressive areas.
Financially aggressive areas, thank you. Because you also say that being poor is very expensive. I want you to elaborate on that so that we can now start to tie the pieces together.
It's more expensive to be poor than it is to be rich. Because one of the first things that people take advantage of when they're trying to make money is they're looking to see who can I get money from. And it's easier to get money from someone who you can exploit than it is to get money from someone you can't. If you drive, when it comes to you going to the market, you could drive to any market that you want and you can buy your food. But if you live in a particular area and you don't drive, your options are restricted in terms of where you buy your food from. So they could basically charge you whatever they want, and the quality that they give you can be as bad as they want it to be. You know, if you, and I'm just going to give a few examples. Let's say you don't have a bank account. So you go, you work, you get paid. Now it's time for you to cash your check. Around $10 every paycheck or $5 every paycheck or whatever is going to go to the check cashing place instead of you cashing your check at the bank and keeping all of your money. You know, traveling. In New York, you use the Metro card. Well, if you buy a monthly Metro card, you're going to get discounts that you cannot get if you buy a daily Metro card. But if you don't have money put together, you can't afford to get a monthly Metro card. You know, and the last example I would use is, let's say you're trying to get something which requires any type of a loan. The worse that your credit report is, the higher the interest rate you're going to pay. So the bottom line is, even though it would make more sense for things to be more expensive when you have more money, they're actually more expensive when you have less money.
You're hitting it right on the head. You're absolutely true. Even this weekend, you know, the East Coast was hit with this blizzard, and I went out the day before to stock up on some grocery items, and lo and behold, something as simple as ground beef was marked up an extra $3, and it really angered me to the point where I didn't buy it. And I thought to myself, when I got home, well, maybe you should have bought it because, you know, blizzard is coming. But I was really angry that they were taking advantage of people during this time of emergency. And instead of thinking, well, I could sell more stuff at, you know, the same price than if I jacked up. But they're thinking, how can I maximize what I can get? Because they have no other choice. They don't have cars. They can't leave the community. We're the only game in town. And just like you said, you know, they mark up something. I looked at the package. I said, you could get this for like $5. Why are they charging $8 for it? You know, it was just really ridiculous. And so the vulnerable are the ones that are being preyed on. And you also touched on this earlier as we were talking about. I want you to bring it home a little bit more right now. And it's that concept that living poor in this city is a concept not just based on your salary, whether it's $20,000 or $100,000, that you could actually have someone living at a higher salary just as poorly as someone who's living at a lower salary. Can you explain that?
I'll actually give an example. I work in IT, and my skills started increasing, and as my skills increased, my income started increasing. And I remember one time it was me and my ex, and we were sitting together at the house, and we were joking around about how poor we are. And while we're joking about it, you know, we're sitting in our house in our low-income neighborhood, we're joking about how poor we are. And then I just stopped for a second, and I'm not going to state an amount, but I looked at her, and I'm like, you know what, between the two of us, we made over such and such this year, and we're sitting here referring to ourselves as poor.
Mm.
And I realized that even though my income had gone up dramatically over the years, my thought process never changed.
Mm.
I still viewed myself as poor.
Mm.
And since I still viewed myself as poor, I still conducted as a poor person.
Wow. That's powerful. When we come back, we're going to delve into how that mindset shift changed and what Dwayne started to do to really pull himself out of the situation that he was in personally, and then how he has learned to do that so that we can all benefit from his expertise.
I got some bad news today, almost destroying my faith. Lord, I don't know how much more that I can take. My boss came to me, said he don't need me no more. Said, collect your things, pack your boxes, there's the door. No feeling sorry, I got down on my knees and prayed to my Lord.
My dancing, your praise every day of my life.
throwing it at me. Everything he's got, I got the victory, cause my God is a cream of the crop. My faith is strong and he keeps me grounded, and I'm still standing by his commandment. The devil is a snake, all he does is sting, but I belong to God. So all I gotta say is,
so I will lift my hands, do my dancing, your praise every day
of my life.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we're back with Dwayne Fuller. He is the founder of CashCreationSystems.com. And he's sharing with us, you know, what it's like to deal with financial aggression. And many of us are consider ourselves to be poor, or if we're middle income, we're just in, you know, just scrapes in, and because of that we're getting taxed heavier and we don't have the supports that we used to, and we're feeling the burden of that. And the only way to really break that cycle is not going to be through a job, and it's not even going to be from creating another business per se, but it is going to be through multiple streams of income. And all my guests have been really guiding us through that through this month. But Dwayne is about to kind of talk to us about the practicalities of it and the nitty-gritty of what we can actually do. And stay tuned to the end of the show, because we're going to actually offer a webinar for you, a free webinar. You don't have to worry about it, but there will only be 25 seats available. So please stay tuned so that you can get in on that quickly. So, you know, Dwayne, we were just talking about, you know, how you can actually be earning a higher income. And even Sherman referred to that, and that city life is that it just, you know, pulls at every dollar that you're making. So what did you do to start to educate yourself so that you no longer had this poverty mindset and you could start to see what needed to be done? Where did you begin?
One of the things I had to break was excuses and closed opportunities.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is we don't even try, or we don't even look, you know. So there's something that you want to do, and you have a little voice in the back of your head saying, well, you can't do that, or that's not going to work. I want to get into a better neighborhood, a better area. Well, you can't do that. That's not going to work. This is going to go wrong. That's going to go wrong, whatever the case is. Rather than just saying, let me do the research and let me just try. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Excellent tip. Excellent tip. I have three kids, and one of them, you know, you will say a statement, and then you'll get every extra. The other day it was like, you know, you can add another light bulb to your light, and it was like, well, I don't know, because it's just try it. It doesn't hurt. You try it, you'll find out if it works. or if it doesn't work. So that is a beginning mindset, is to take the locks off of your brain and to begin to educate yourself. And I know you mentioned dear friends of mine, Sean and Troy Isaacs, who have IMG Marketing, and you went to a seminar and something clicked for you there. Talk to us about that.
So I'm sitting there and I'm taking the video, and there were some things that they said that hit me. There were a lot of things that I was familiar with. But I'd say that the things that probably impacted me more weren't things that were new, but things that were reinforcement. Passages that they would go through in the Proverbs that speaks about the importance of being diligent and working hard, you know. And those were things that really got to me, because I realized, okay, for things that I wanted to try to do or accomplish, I had the skills to do them. I just wasn't trying. I wasn't working hard. I wasn't being diligent. And one of the things that they started to speak about is reading, you know. If you don't like reading, listening to audiobooks and so forth. And that was really the main thing that prompted me and got me to stop being lazy in that regard and start acquiring more information, reading about the things I was interested in. And those things would lead to reading other things and so forth, and got me to venturing out more and taking more chances.
You've got to educate yourself. There's tons of wonderful, great books that everyone can agree on that you need to start with these as your basic foundations. And I didn't think I'd ever move away from hard books to a Kindle or some type of digital reader. I love real books because I can underline and highlight, but what I love about the digital reader is not only do I have my page-turner books in there, but I have audio in there, and I can switch around, I can pop over from one to the other, and instead of lugging around all these books, I have, you know, a brain child, and we're on trains, we're in commute, we're on buses. Those are wonderful opportunities to begin to educate yourself. Use that time instead of, you know, playing a game that might de-stress you, but, you know, if you take 5 minutes to play that game, fine, but then refocus and do something that's really going to change your mindset and begin to build you up. So here you are, you started reading, and I know you said that Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad was also very influential.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
First, let me mention, you told me to read it 20 years ago, and I never did. But a few years back, I finally got to it, and it was some powerful things in there that he spoke about. One is the importance of acquiring assets. And I always knew what an asset was. For me, an asset was something that you purchase for your business. But the distinction that he made in his book is that an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. And if it's not putting money in your pocket, it's not an asset.
Mm.
And he used the example of a house. So if you buy a house and you're living in that house and you're paying the mortgage, that house, as great as it is to own a house, that house isn't an asset. It's a liability. You're paying off a mortgage every month. But if you own a house and you're renting out space in the house, even if you're walking away with $50 extra at the end of the month, that $50 extra is cash flow. So now that house is an asset.
Hmm.
So he spoke about the importance of acquiring assets, and there are different types of assets. You can buy assets, such as things like stocks and so forth, even businesses, but you can also build assets. You may not have a penny, but you can build an asset that's going to make money for you just as well as you can buy an asset.
And I want to just finish up with your story a little bit because, you know, there your former wife, and you were talking about how poor you were, and clearly there were bills and debts and things to be fixed. And here you are, you're starting to educate yourself about these multiple income streams and trying different things out. What was one of the first things that you did to help regulate yourself? Or do you believe that regulation is something we should be trying to achieve?
Well, I would probably say after reading the book, it was an eye-opener for me, and I started looking at different things that I can do to bring in passive income. passive income is income that you're not necessarily working hard to acquire. And I really couldn't think of anything. And then after a while, it was like, you know what, I have this extra space in the back. Let me rent out the room. I had a quick $500 extra coming in a month, and that felt pretty good. So I started searching out things on the internet and things of that nature to start building other asset streams. And I started to think of my my ebook that I was going to write, which I never did, but my ebook was going to be 10 ways to make extra income. And I started putting my list together, and that list just grew from 10 to 15 to 25 to 40 and kept going. And I started finding all of these different things that you can do.
Can you just give us a little idea
there's a few
of what
of them. There are websites, and I'll name some of the crazier ones. There are websites that you can go to where you could rent out your car. And the website takes care of most of the work. You actually rent out your car. The person comes. They pick it up. You put down how much you're going to charge per hour or per day for the use of your car. There are websites where you can actually cook a meal and have people pay to come over to your house for dinner.
Get out of here.
Yes. There's another website. I have to get the specific name. I could give it to you to put on the website. I think the name is Rent a Friend, where you could rent yourself out to be a friend.
I can do that.
So there are all kinds of opportunities. You know, one of my favorites is peer-to-peer lending, because rather than being the customer of the bank, if you put your money in a savings account, you are going to end up maybe getting – you're lucky if you get 1% interest on your money. But there are websites where you can actually loan your money out to other people who are getting loans. And the website will keep 1% for themselves, and the rest of the money goes to you. So whether that person is getting 15%, paying 15%, 20% or whatever the case is, 9%, you're now collecting that interest. And you don't have to pay them the entire amount of the loan. You can just give them little $25 banknotes and collect interest on your money. But the greatest thing about those sites is that if you decide, oh, I need my money back, even though the loan was a 3-year loan, you can actually turn around and sell those banknotes on the secondary market. You know, so peer-to-peer lending, very powerful. And rather than loaning a cousin money and never getting it back, as far as the peer-to-peer lending, the website handles just about everything. The website is the one who's going to check the person, see if they're actually working, see if they live where they say they live, all of those different aspects. It's all handled by the website. So there's a ton.
Right. Do you think that we should be, trying to level out? Because, for instance, I have a Columbia student loan debt. You know, it's a lot of money. And there's always that bill that's looming that you have to pay down. And then you think about investing and starting a business and multiple streams. What's your ideology on that? How should people kind of look at managing that?
Well, let me just say this. I'm not sure if this is going to be an exact answer to your question, but I'm going to say this. When it comes to finances, there's two different schools of thought when it comes to finances, and you actually need both of them, and I speak about one of them. You look at, say, Susie Orman. Susie Orman speaks about personal finance. Personal finance is, how do I manage the money that I already have? How do I get my debts down and those types of things? That's completely different from income generation. They're two completely different things.
Okay.
So when I'm reading Robert Kiyosaki, he's not talking about personal finance. He's not talking about managing my finances. He's talking about systems that helps me to generate and build wealth.
Got it.
And people confuse those, but they're two completely different things. And that's why people came to me and they were like, change the name of your website because people think scam or whatever when they hear cash creation systems. But I couldn't bring myself to do it because it really describes what I'm trying to talk about, cash creation systems. It's not about personal finance. It's about things that you can do to generate extra income. And also generating extra income in the residual and passive income areas as opposed to just earned income.
So what I hear you saying is that, you know, yes, Jackie, pay down your debts on a personal level, but if we're talking about cash creation, you should be investing. You should look at that just like, you know, buying groceries. You should have a system in place for investment. Am I getting that right?
Either investing or building systems that are going to bring in cash.
Okay.
And I want to use my daughter as an example.
Okay.
She'll strangle me for doing this, but I'm going to use her as an example. I remember having a conversation with her. Now, my daughter is into languages. You know,
yes.
She's traveled to Asia a couple of times, and she's into languages. She's speaking Japanese and so forth. And I was telling her once, you should be, at the stage that you're at now, you should be creating your own piggy bank. You know, the subject we were talking about, saving money up in piggy banks. And I was like, you should be creating your own piggy bank. And what I meant by that is I wasn't speaking about the physical piggy bank that we put our money in, which I still do to this day. Anytime I come home, I got loose change in my pocket, I throw it in the piggy bank.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't discouraging from that, but the point that I was making to her is that at the level of intelligence that she's at, the things she's had to go through in terms of school and getting where she's gotten to and so forth, she could actually sit down and write up proposals to form a program. So instead of her joining a school year abroad program that allows her to go abroad, she could be creating a school year abroad program.
Gotcha.
And any extra money that comes in from that program, that's her piggy bank. So now instead of a piggy bank that you're putting 20 and 30 cents in, when you get home at the end of the day, you're creating a piggy bank that's bringing you, say, $12,000 extra a month.
Wow.
But
you see, and I love what you just said there in terms of a month. I'm going to let you continue, but I want people to hear that you said a month. And I'm at a place where I'm starting to meet people who are making annual salaries in a month, right? They're bringing home $30,000 to $40,000 a month. That is absolutely doable and legal. You just have to understand what you bring to the table. So continue to elaborate on that.
Yeah, we don't think in terms of systems. So we're always looking to join the system rather than creating the system.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than us saying, and I'll use another example, a gentleman, not going to go into a name, but I remember a gentleman and his daughter, and the daughter was speaking about her wanting to get into modeling. And she was speaking about the fact that she couldn't get a break in modeling, and she was talking about the hardships she was going through and so forth. And I asked her, I said, well, why don't you look at it from the business perspective? I said, why don't you buy a book that teaches you how to build a modeling agency, form an LLC or something, and start your modeling agency? Because if you understand modeling from the agent's perspective and from the company perspective, even if your only objective is to be the model, now you know how to do that more successfully because you understand the mindset of the agents.
I love that. It's putting the power back where it belongs.
Yeah. So if you're trying to be a model and you're trying to move up in the business, why are you just trying to learn it from the model's perspective? The agents are the ones who pick the models. So why not learn it from the agent's perspective? You know, and I'll just use one other example. You know, you're looking to, you know, you have a lot of people who do security. And you'll go out there, you work a job or whatever the case is, you're doing security, and you're looking for extra money. But have you ever thought of actually forming an LLC, becoming the company that hires the security guards and sends them to the different venues? So now you're still doing security, but you're
right.
taking advantage of all the tax advantages of being a corporation or LLC instead of just being an employee, and you're also able to hire other security guards under your agency, put them into places, and while you're making money every hour for what you're doing, if you still decide to keep going out and doing the jobs, you're also making money every hour that they're working.
You're saying this, I can hear people as you're talking saying, but I don't have the resources to start my own business. I don't have the resources to you know, get lawyers and do all of this stuff. And
you don't need lawyers.
Speaking with you,
And
talk about also, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, you're going to go more in depth, but talk about the fact that you can actually set it up and go to investors who are willing to support your vision.
Well, forming an LLC, just forming the company, right, just forming the LLC itself in New York, and don't quote me, I don't remember the exact numbers, but just the formation of the LLC in itself, you're talking about $200 to $250. You got a lot of people are wearing that just on their feet.
Yes, absolutely true.
Amount or less than it would cost you for that nice outfit that you have or those, the sneakers or whatever the case is, it's not going to kill you to get $200. Or $250. Now, there's going to be other costs. You're going to have to do your publications and things of that nature.
But
the bottom line is, when you form a corporate or an LLC, it's basically a file folder. It's not this huge build. When you're building your business, it's not this huge business. It's not that building over there that I'm paying $1,000 a month for, or $1,500 a month for, whatever the case is. It's a few pieces of paper in a folder. You could put your own address there.
Mm-hmm.
The business is really a few pieces of paper in a folder that you filed with the state. And the other thing is this. Once you really start to learn and you know your stuff, you start studying, you start reading or whatever, it's not just saying, well, I want to start this kind of business. And your friends are listening to you and they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever, and they're being nice, but they really don't have any confidence in you. When you
mm-hmm.
really start to research and know your stuff and develop your ideas, people are going to want to put money into you, and they're going to want to put money into what you're doing.
I love that. No more excuses, guys. Sherman talked to us last week. He said the easiest evidence to find at any crime scene is excuses, and so we want to lay that to rest. No more excuses. When we come back, we'll find out about the four different types of income streams that you can look into and our special offer just for you.
Afraid of the wind and the rain, why do you doubt? Oh, ye of little faith, I know the storm is raging, but I'm here to comfort you. Come come on, you can walk on water. Keep your eyes on me.
Ready. I hope you have your pens and paper. You know, I was going to say pencils, but I hear they're kind of out of date now. They're barely using pens. So, Dwayne, talk to us about the different types of income and the advantages and disadvantage of each.
Okay. Well, the first that you have is earned income, or we could also call it active income. And it's what most of us are familiar with, getting a job. And the whole thought process is, you know what, go out there, go to school so that you can get a good job and make money. Nothing wrong with that. The advantages with earned income is you have a steady paycheck coming every 2 weeks, whatever the case is, or we could call it steady. It's not really steady because you could always lose a job. But for the most part, you have that steady income coming. You have sick days, you have vacation, you know, you have the health benefits and things of that nature. So those are the advantages of a job. The disadvantages, first off, those who are in the earned income bracket, they're the most highly taxed. You have the fewest tax advantages. And the other thing is the amount of money that you're able to make is restricted, particularly if you don't have a job where you get overtime. But even if you have a job where you get overtime, you're basically trading dollars for hours. So the amount of money that you can make is always limited by the amount of time that you can work, the amount of hours that you can put in. The second one is what's called, portfolio. portfolio income is money that you get from different types of securities. Most of us are familiar with the term stocks, although we don't really understand too much of what it's about or how it works. But say you're making money from stocks, that would be portfolio income. Another thing that you can make money from is something called currencies. And it's huge leverage. You can lose a lot of money, but you could also make a lot of money. There's also what's called commodities, or you'll hear people referring to futures. And you'll usually see them talk about these things on the news. They'll talk about things on the news in regards to futures, or they'll talk about things like the Dow and the S&P 500 and so forth. Most people, they hear it, but they don't really know much of what they're talking about. But those all things relate to portfolio income. And it's true that you could lose money when it comes to portfolio income, but you also have the advantage of learning more about how to do it and doing research and so forth, which can minimize that risk. Next, we have passive income. And it's called passive as opposed to active because it's doing minimal work and making money. And so with passive income, you'll hear terms like make money while you sleep or your money working for you. Those terms are actually true when it comes to passive income. And then lastly is residual income, which is very similar to passive income, but it's like you do the work once and you continue to make money from it. And some examples of that would be you're working a job like insurance or you're involved in some type of network marketing business. And those things would be passive and residual income.
Got it. Got it. Okay, very good. So listen, our time is going expediently here. Clearly there's more that we need to cover and get in depth with. And I want the practical tool. I want this to be very helpful to myself and to the listeners. And I must compliment you, Duane, because even though you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad about 15, 20 years after I suggested you read it, you've done more with it in practicality than I have. And so I think that's more important. So you're actually going to offer a free webinar called Breaking the Miseducation of Finances, where we're going to kind of go more in depth on these, you know, four types of income streams and, you know, resources and mindsets. And so I invite all of you to register for this. The link for the show is on Blog Talk Radio right here on this page. You can see it's right there next to cashcreationsystems.com. We also have the webinar information, and also it will be on my Facebook page, Don't Give Up Radio on Facebook. You have to have that radio on there. Duane, is there anything else that we need to know about the webinar? I know it's going to be Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern time, correct?
It's going to be Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. You could feel free to ask questions, come with your questions. Remember, we are talking about income generation, not personal finances. Personal finances right. is important, but it's going to be – this is a completely different topic. And it's best – there'll also be a link where you can call in and listen on the telephone, but it's best if you can do it on a computer so that you can actually see the things that I'm going to be showing you on the screen, which are going to be charts and websites and so forth.
Wonderful. So we want you to sign up right away so that we can make sure that you get in there. And it's going to be tomorrow, Sunday at 4 p.m. It will be recorded. However, we want you on there live, okay? So, and I will throw in a perk as well for my new book, Don't Give Up and Win, A Survival Guide to Renewed Virginity, but I've created a poster with the Don't Give Up motto on it. So you can use it as a screensaver. You can use it as a printed out poster to just put up and remember that, you know, the focus behind us not giving up, you can don't give up and just continue to toil and toil and toil. But we have to get to the place where we win. That is the goal. That is the objective. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't a battle that they didn't fight and not expect to reap the spoils of that battle. And sometimes we're constantly battle and we're never reaping any spoils, and that needs to come to an end. It will not end unless we change our mindsets. And so, therefore, I want you to don't give up and win. Thank you so much, Dwayne, for sharing with us this evening.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I look forward to hearing from you and everybody else on Sunday.
Great. Awesome. For those of you who are my regular listeners, you know what I always say to you. I want you to go ahead and be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said you were worth it when he gave his life for you. Don't give up and win. Until next time, good night.
Determine in your heart that I'm going.